All right, let's do this. That's what you did last time I said, let's do this. You're like, ah.
I know.
It's actually in the audio recording.
You push the button. You're like, okay, let's click. Okay,
that's,
knocked up. Let's do this.
That's not exactly how it happened. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode Beta 76 for Friday, the 15th of April, 2016. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and that dude right there with the fuzzy head, that's Kent.
Hey, what's going on?
You loser. It's your long hair and your shitty beard. Retirement asshole. Punk.
Don't hate.
All kinds of other things I can say to you right now. Jerk. Motherfucker still has hair.
Yeah, kind of. Like a back half of my head.
All right. Hey, man, you've got company tonight.
I do.
You do.
In studio, even.
In studio.
Hello, I'm his son.
This is Lucas, a.k.a. Movie Man Lucas, from the chat.
Ah. We finally get to put a face to the chat.
Yeah, and I'm a teenager.
Pre-show, man. He was talking about all of my gray hair, and I said, well, yeah, you've been around almost 2 decades now, so of course I've got a lot of gray hair.
Going to grow a Sasquatch face.
So you're trying to say that he is responsible for the gray hairs on your head?
Yeah, he's responsible for a little over half of them, probably about 60% of them.
No,
yeah?
Like 40. Isaac says 60.
You've been around a lot longer than him, though.
Yeah, but he does more damage.
He's more effective in his time, apparently.
So maybe it is closer to 50-50.
Oh, man. So how you guys been this week?
Dude, you remember last show I said, gosh, I was doing great until about 30 minutes ago, and I think I'm coming down with something? Yeah, it fucking hit me, dude. I was tore up all Saturday, half of Sunday. I was fine Monday. Tuesday, it hits me again. It was awful. Yesterday, it was so bad, I time traveled. Time travel.
Like you sneezed at 88 miles an hour? What's going on here?
That might be what happened. I came home from work. I lay down on the bed just to, you know, maybe catch a couple of winks before supper or whatever. And then I was getting ready for work. For today. Yeah. Hey, I fell asleep. Right after work. I was home not even an hour. Fell asleep, and then I was waking up to my alarm to get ready for work.
That's pretty sweet.
No.
So that's like a whole day just disapproved.
Yeah, it was awful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
No, I went to work for a full day, got about an hour off, and then I went to work again for a full day. Terrible.
It's because your body misses being in the military.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's not what it was.
It's bullshit. How about you, Lucas? How was your week?
Well, this is the first week since spring break, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah, life sucks again.
Yeah,
but it's Friday, so I could stay up and not regret it.
Oh, and not regret it. Not that he normally can't stay up. It's just. Less right. painful in yeah. the morning or in the noon. All right. I spent a considerable part of this week planning my trip for my move, actually. Breaking down gas stops and trying to figure out exact mileage and everything else between towns and all that stuff.
Is that coming up really soon?
Yeah, like 70 days.
Holy
crap. No, 50 days. I've got 34 days left in this country. And then about 20 days at home and traveling.
Dude, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
It feels like you've been there for like 3 years.
Yeah, you're telling me. Holy shit. I'm so ready not to be here anymore. And nothing against the country. Nothing against the country at all. Simply a lot of things against my presence here.
Right.
So,
right. Is there anything that you're wanting to do before you leave?
I still haven't made it down to Kunsan to go to hooch hopping yet. I was going to go this weekend, and then my battle buddy that I was going to go with backed out. The hotel filled up, and then they tagged me with weekend duty. So This weekend didn't really work out, but I've got about five weekends left to try to make that happen. So, you know, I didn't make it happen for the last 47. I guess I'll try for those last five.
Good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I've been back to Seoul and done some sightseeing, things like that. I'm just ready to go.
Yeah, no doubt.
Ready not to be here anymore. Hey, man, apparently we did some geeky things this week. What you got with this digital copy? What's this about?
Yeah, so, you know how when you buy a Blu-ray multi-pack or whatever, one of the things on there is a digital copy?
Right.
Have you ever claimed one of those?
All the time.
Yeah? See,
yeah, I've got a huge digital library just by the DVDs that people have bought.
Amazing. Yes. Okay. For whatever reason, I just never bothered.
Really?
To do. Just never, like, I don't know. And I decided to do all of them this week.
So which service pisses you off more? iTunes, Vudu, Flixster, what's the other one?
Well, Flixster is now who owns
It's
called I had that giant stack of shit that I said I'm going to save for later.
Ultraviolet.
Mm.
So Flixster owns Ultraviolet now. Well, fuck them.
I have found that Vudu, Ultraviolet, and Flixster worked pretty much interoperable anyway. So once you registered on one, it just worked on all three of them.
Mm. Okay. Well, maybe I'll revisit because I tried one of them with the Flixster thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? This is just dumb. So I took the entire stack that only had Ultraviolet and just put it back on this. So I've got a bunch of movies right now on Apple.
On iTunes, yeah.
So the rest of them I was just like, eh.
I claim it as much as I can. I claim the Apple one first. Like sometimes it'll give you a code that's good for one or the other. And I claim it on Apple first because we are an Apple family. With Apple TVs and the phones and iPads and everything else. So, but yeah, we probably got maybe 70 movies or so. Mm. So.
How many did you, like 20?
I claimed 26.
26.
26 this week.
Yeah.
But there's still stacks that don't work with Apple. So I was like, okay, maybe.
The ones that work with Apple, you can actually do the little redeem thing and use the camera on your phone or your computer and it'll just automatically type it in for you.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It makes it super simple.
Okay.
So there's that. Now that you've done all the work that you need to do, there's a way that you could have done it easier.
Does Star Wars have...
I haven't claimed my Star Wars one yet, but yes. Yes, it has one.
So this week I created a feed for Justin Robert Young. He mentioned on Daily Tech News Show on Thursday that he needed a feed just for all his shows, so I made one. And that was pretty cool. That actually was a bit of a learning experience and very frustrating. So, very nice. Frustrating. There needs to be better RSS aggregators. And there's plenty out there to aggregate RSS feeds, but to actually filter the results using keywords, that is not the easiest freaking thing. I found one service that does it, and it does it really awkwardly, so I had to finagle it for a while to get it to work right. So,
nice. How long did that project take you? Like in man hours, not like I started it then this time and then.
No, it was a straight shot. It took me about 3 hours.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's not terrible.
Yeah. Three hours of that's all I did for that 3 hours. I wasn't watching videos or anything else. It was just that. And of course it was at the end of the workday. So it was, you know, twice as irritating as it should have been. But and the other thing I did after a story we're going to cover a little bit later, I decided to check on old EverQuest and see how that was working out, and I actually got it working. Yeah, got it working on a hacked server and had a little fun and realized that I really, really, really loved being higher level in EverQuest because stabbing a spider with a knife and dying 15 times was not fun. So I played that for about 3 hours, and I got to level 3. And, no. I much prefer my level 75 necromancer with, you know, the pets I could send out and just demolish everything that I was going at and everything else. So much easier when you actually have some survivability.
Yeah, no doubt. Is there still an official server for EverQuest?
I think there is. It's free to play, and then you can. It's freemium. Like you, it has some basic classes that you can play, and then if you want to play other classes or do different things, you have to pay additional for it. But yeah, it's still out there. It still exists. It's still a thing.
Yeah, I heard.
But only for Windows though. They killed the Mac client a long time ago, which is actually part of the problem. I had to wineskin the Mac client over to even use the damn thing, and that itself was a whole fucking charade. Like that's a multi-step process that should be a lot easier.
Yeah. Now, see, I'd heard, well, it's been many months now, but within the last year, that they're talking about coming out with a new EverQuest game that's supposed to be like a more, like even more immersive experience, like where your characters age and stuff like that.
So what I'm finding is my positive experience in EverQuest was based on the people that I guilded with and raided with. And a lot of the fun that we had and everything else was based on the conversations and the teamwork and things like that that were in the game. And at the time, it was a great escape from a marriage I didn't want to be in. So those things all add into me being a hardcore EQ player, which you kind of had to be in order to get to the higher echelon stuff. You really had to be pretty dedicated to the game, which is why I flipped and turned into a avid WoW player, because I can pick up WoW and just play it for a while and put it down. I don't have to, like, there's no dedication to it. It's just a fun game. It's not nearly as serious as EverQuest was, at least in my opinion. So, That's one of the reasons I went over to WoW, and I enjoyed that. So at first, when WoW first came out, I didn't really like it. I was in the beta and everything else and didn't really care for it because it was too cartoony. It was too blah, 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 you know, just like little kid version. And now that's exactly what I like about it. It's not a dedicated time space. It just happens. You go in, you play, and you log the hell off.
Right. So, Luke, you played WoW recently.
Yeah, I played for the free trial.
Mm.
That was interesting. I figured that I just, it's not my type of game. I don't really like MMOs, but I did get a Hearthstone skin from it. So
yeah, which was the entire reason. You had to get to what level 20? Level 20, right?
Yeah. That's pretty easy now.
Yeah, so. I played for like 2 days, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah,
and I played a warlock and used pets and stuff.
Yeah, that's actually what I preferred playing in WoW as well, as Warlock. Just so much fun. So, what about you, Lucas, other than playing WoW specifically to get your Hearthstone up? Is there anything else geeky that you did this week?
Today I bought a Hearthstone skin for $5.
Microtransactions.
Yeah. Yep. It's a new mage skin that is an iOS exclusive.
Hmm.
It's for a limited time, and all the proceeds go to WWF, which is to save the world. Not the wrestlers.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of apps right now on the App Store that are advertising WWF thing. It's like a Wildlife Month or something, I don't know, where either all of the proceeds or a portion of the proceeds go to WWF.
Nice. So,
it's interesting. But yeah, that was part of that bigger promotion.
So so this week we both did something. Well, I guess apparently all three of us did something that we haven't done in a while. So, Lucas, you being the guest, why don't you go first? Tell us about the TED Talk that you watched or listened to.
Yep, so I listened to a TED Talk from Caleb Harper, and it was about how computers will grow your food in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how we can make plants, like we can control the amount of CO2 and the oxygen and the nutrients and keep track of all the stuff that can go with it. In just our houses, and like you could be just a normal businessman and have your own like garden in your house, and I don't know, it was just
so. Is this like kind of like a robot controlled irrigation and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was very like you can control the humidity and just everything about that. It's been put into schools mainly in California. And
so this is already a thing that's basically just waiting to gain traction.
Yeah, it's been a thing for like 2 or 3 years from what the guy said. And it's making it bigger and trying to make it more mobile.
And see, you say that, but all I hear is hydroponic marijuana.
Exactly.
Yeah. There are different recipes that you can use to.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
That can make things seem like they come from a different place. Like an apple from Mexico might taste different from one from Germany, for example.
Okay.
So if you're like, oh yeah, just nothing beats Mexican apples.
So you can match the humidity and soil type and.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to bring back the original banana? That's all I want. I just want the original banana that actually tastes like the banana candy to come back from extinction because we're a bunch of asshole humans that don't know how to do shit. That's all I want.
The guy talked about how he ate tomatoes that no one has eaten for like generations. And
that's like super cool. Like I really dig that.
First this, then Jurassic Park.
Of course, yeah. That's coming up next.
All right. What about you, Kent? Latif Nasser, you have no idea where camels really came from. Well, you're right. I really fucking don't. I have no idea where camels came from.
Yeah. Do you want to take a guess? Like what
continent? What continent? I'm going to say Antarctica.
I'm going to guess Australia.
You're both wrong.
Is India its own continent?
No, damn near. Yeah. It's damn near. But no. Mm. No, it's actually North America.
Really?
Yeah.
Science.
So this woman found bone fragments in the far north Canadian tundra. So like way north of the Arctic Circle. She was climbing these mountains and things, and she found some bone fragments. She's a paleoarchaeologist, I think.
Okay, sounds good.
Or paleobiologist or something. Paleo something or another. Paleo science person. And so she was looking for any sort of fossils or anything that she could find, and she found these bone fragments that she actually thought was like wood fragments or something at first. Because typically what they find up there is like plant fossils. So she thought she found like some preserved bark or something like that. Well, she collected them and then realized that, well, it's not a plant. So what is this? It turns out to be bone. And the more she analyzed it, she eventually figures out that it belonged to a camel, but a very large camel that was probably about 9 feet tall.
Damn.
Yeah. And weighed about a ton. And well, it's this whole thing that basically at the end of it, we discovered that there are all kinds of extinct camels that we've never heard of before, like rabbit-sized camels and camels that have long necks like giraffes and all kinds of crap. And it was really the thing that I got out of this more than the whole camel thing was that I didn't like the way that the TED Talk was structured. This talk was about this woman finding all of this stuff, right? But there's a dude standing on stage, and he's giving the talk. Now, the dude, I have not a single problem with the guy because he was a very engaging speaker. He was actually – he had a voice that I could listen to for a while. Good speaker, really good speaker. However, the woman was – like she pre-recorded part of this, so he would be talking – and then the recording would respond or, you know, say something or whatever. And then he would continue. And it was like he was having a conversation with a pre-recorded message.
Now, was this an official TED or was it a TEDx?
It was TED. He was definitely on a TED stage.
Wow.
And it was really strange the way it was set up. But it was kind of neat because at the very end of the talk, he actually brought a real camel onto the stage. I don't know.
Little show and tell.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of lukewarm on the talk. The talk itself was actually pretty interesting.
In case you the camel looked like, right?
Yeah.
Now that I've talked about it for 20 minutes, let me show you what it looks like.
Yeah. What did you watch, Abe?
Eddie Zong. His talk is called How School Makes Kids Less Intelligent. And essentially, I really summarize it in just saying that sticking to the norms kills creativity and imagination. And kids that are doing really well in school, all through school, for the purpose of finishing school, are losing out. They're losing part of the out-of-the-box thinking that we need in order to really succeed. And people that do think outside the box and don't subscribe to the typical scholarly model have sometimes a better chance at doing amazing things than those who just gather the academic intelligence.
Sure.
So would I recommend watching it? Sure. Why not? It's only 8 minutes long. And it's done by like a 16-year-old, which is fairly impressive. So there you go.
I bet he's not doing well in school.
probably. Well, I don't know. He didn't even mention it. He said he was the only Asian kid in the world that didn't understand math. So,
wow.
No, I know a couple, so he's lying.
So there you go.
Is he true Asian?
Do what?
Is he true Asian?
I have no idea.
Oh. Yeah. It really matters.
100 different jokes could come to mind right now, and I'm just going to leave those there because none of them are appropriate for mixed audiences. So that would be our TED Talks for the week right there. What?
What? When you played the music, there was your voice did this amazing echo effect thing.
Oh, yeah?
So cool.
Awesome. That's because my voice is just that fucking cool. So we alluded to it earlier, but Lucas, you brought in that NOS is down.
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, it's short for Nostellarius, which is used to be a vanilla WoW server, which had a lot of people. It had 150,000 active accounts that played on there, and the most it had at one time was 18,000. So a lot of people.
That's pretty. It's actually pretty insane.
Yeah.
Now, and this is an unofficial server. This is not run by Blizzard.
Right. Yeah, this is a homebrew. This is something somebody built in their garage and hosted and hacked the code to where people could play on there and play without going through Blizzard at all.
Right.
It's vanilla, so like everything before the first major expansion.
The Burning Crusade.
Yeah, Burning Crusade.
Yeah. So this is the base game, fully patched and current as possible before the first expansion came out. And I played it, and that was actually a really fun game. There's a lot of complexities in later expansions that weren't in play yet, such as... different things like you couldn't just teleport to places or ride airships and shit like that. You actually had to like run where you wanted to go for the most part. Which in a real world situation, rerunning across three zones is, like half an hour. And then you get there to realize that the people that were waiting for you aren't there anymore. They've already gone, and it's like there are a lot of complications in that game that made it just a purist, fantasy land, really. Mm. But it's been shut down. Blizzard gave them a cease and desist order, and they shut down, I believe, on the 10th of April, the 12th of April. I think the 12th of April. Either way.
It's like a week ago.
How long has this server been in place?
A couple of years. It's not the oldest server, but it is the purportedly the biggest and most active unofficial server.
So I have to assume that Blizzard knew of its existence for the last few years.
Right, which is one of the things that brings up questions like, why are they doing this now? Why only this one server? Why not other competing servers? There's literally dozens of other unofficial servers out there, and why tackle this one? Why now? And part of that might be that this one's in a place, this one I believe was hosted in the US, so they could easily shut it down, as opposed to others that are hosted in like New Zealand and things like that. Also, part of the rumor is that if they're going to shut this one down, maybe they're trying to build a market for a service they are going to start. Which is what EverQuest did before. When EverQuest started declining, they had progression servers. So you would log into that server and it was the basic game until someone had beat the main boss, which then unlocked the next expansion, until someone beat that boss, which then unlocked the next expansion. And they did that for a while too. So on part of it, that'd be great. That'd be fun, everything else. But then that might also be an indication of the death of WoW in some small way, because that's, again, that is exactly what EverQuest did as this began to fade.
Possibly EverQuest sequel to take over WoW.
So, well, what do you think about that? Do you think WoW is in a decline, or?
Well, it is in a decline. Every time they get new subscriptions, any listener to the instance can tell you, anytime they get a new expansion, it jumps back up to about 12 million active monthly users. And then within about 6 months or so, it drops back down to about 8. And the last time I heard, it had dipped as low as into the 6 millions. But 6 million people paying $15 a month is still still a pretty good,
quite lucrative.
Yeah. And you know, they've got a lot of other games and everything else going on over there at Blizzard. So it's not like they're losing fan base. It's just a matter of moving the players around to where they feel more at home, I think. But I don't know. I mean, it's a crazy world. We got new shit coming out all the time and everything else. And WoW is coming up on 11 years old, so it's been around for a while.
And there's not an MMO out there that even comes anywhere near the popular.
There isn't an MMO out there that comes anywhere near what WoW has done at its lowest point.
Right.
You know, EverQuest at its peak had like 400,000 users, active monthly users, or something like that. I mean, it was, you know, I don't even think it ever hit 1 million. It might have, I don't know, but it was nowhere near even close to what WoW has been doing.
Yeah.
So,
all right. I imagine WoW is going to be around for a while. So I don't think this is an early indicator of the going away of World of Warcraft.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how it works out, though.
I do think that they might start doing legacy servers, which only has vanilla or Burning Crusade or Wrath of the Lich King or whatever you want.
Yeah, and even if they give it away for free with like incentives to upgrade to a paid account, I could totally see that because it's proven that there is a market out there for vanilla servers. So I definitely think that Blizzard's at least looking into doing that.
Yeah. My thing would be, what would capture me is if you were on a vanilla, if they opened up a vanilla server and made it a progression server to where it would gradually grow, but anytime that you went from, like, say you get to the end of vanilla WoW, which I'm not even sure what the end boss would be for that. Get to that, and then you beat it, you and your guild or whatever else, like the people that have beat it, can choose to go ahead and progress to the next server or stay on vanilla, you know? And then once Burning Crusade and then the Wrath of the Lich King, once you beat the Lich King, then you can progress up to Cataclysm and make it like that, but keep the old one still active. I don't know how much overhead that would be and how much server maintenance and everything else that would cause, but I think that would be really awesome, and that actually might be worth me getting back into it and paying my $15 again. Of course, if they just came out with a family plan so me and my son could play, me and my son and my kids could play for, instead of paying $30 a month for two people, if we could pay $30 a month for five people, that'd make it worth my while too, you know what I mean? Something like that. Because we're not all playing all the time, but when we do play, we all want to play together. So.
Right.
I think there's plenty of options left that Blizzard needs to explore. Or maybe they have and they just decided it's not worth it. But I think there's plenty left for Blizzard to explore in the world of WoW. In the world of World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
So, all right. Something that I came across this week, a little email that I got in my inbox, and I thought it was very interesting. Something I didn't even realize wasn't there. Same-sex spouses are now eligible to accompany their military, not dependent, their active duty sponsor, to go to certain overseas assignments, accompanied, such as Korea. And
now was that not the case before?
It was not. So essentially, back in 2013. The military officially recognized same-sex marriages, and the spouses got the same benefits as opposite-sex, your traditional marriage or whatever. But when you go to go overseas, there are things called SOFA agreements, well, status of forces agreements, that dictate certain things like how long an active duty member can stay in the government or stay in the country. Guard, reserve are separate on that. Then you have non-military civilian employees of the military and the rules that govern them. It also governs like if you go to jail, who handles it, you know, what kind of laws are in place for that, the whole process for that kind of thing. And it covers your dependents to include your spouse, your children, all that kind of stuff. Well, it's hard to get a country that doesn't recognize same-sex marriage to admit a same-sex spouse into their country under the same rules as the traditional marriage model.
Sure.
So, and apparently there were certain countries that allowed it right away, didn't care. Korea just allowed it, and I don't know who else did, but apparently the countries that now have issues with it are primarily in the Middle East, in countries that have laws against homosexuality. So,
right. So is Korea one of the countries that does recognize same-sex marriages?
I don't believe they do. I do not believe they do. But they allow the U.S. military to bring the same-sex spouses under the same sofa that everybody else is under.
I wonder if that's because of, like, I guess, progressive public opinion, or if that's the United States just exerting their power.
I don't know. I honestly don't know, because around here there seem to be, I don't want to say a lot, because there seems to be a higher than normal percentage of homosexuals here in this area as far as military members. And I don't know if that's because there's fewer civilians around, some paying more attention to the military, or if there's a drive for gay military members to come to Korea because it's not in the same environment as anywhere else. I don't know. Like, there could be a multitude of factors in that between my perception and a possible reality of it, but it's pretty prevalent. Like, you don't have to throw very many stones before you know, rustle a bush.
So, so to speak. So, but have you actually had a conversation with a married homosexual in Korea?
Not in Korea. I did have one back in Texas in my shop in Texas. Things were a little bit different there. Here's more of a maintainer personality, you know, mentality. So I'm not sure that any, yeah, that's about all I can say about that.
I get it. I'm just wondering from a married person, because you've obviously spoke to several single homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious what the perspective would be of a married person that's there unaccompanied.
I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I don't think any of the gay people that I know here are married, especially not married to someone in country. Because if you do bring them to Korea and they're not under the sofa and they're not, you know, officially recognized or whatever else, not officially recognized, but if they're not command sponsored is what they call it, then you basically have to pay out of pocket for everything. You don't get a room on base, but your spouse can't live there with you. So,
right.
So you have to live off base out of on your own without government compensation or anything else. So it's pretty expensive. I haven't run into anybody that's actually doing it this time
around.
And
just to clarify, so that nobody's confused, that's not a rule for same sex. That's just for anyone.
Right.
If
and you're not command sponsored, then you're paying out of pocket for your spouse to be here.
Right, just like when we were at Kunsan. Kunsan's not an accompanied base, so we don't get paid to bring our families with us.
Right.
That's not to say that South Korea won't allow your family to come in. You absolutely can.
Yes, but it's under the same tourist visas and everything else. It's like, you know, the same rules as just anybody, just Joe Schmo coming to Korea to visit for Seoul for a month.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I thought that was really interesting. That's a big step forward, I would think.
Yeah,
now, I'm not a proponent for having dependents here in Korea to begin with.
Yep.
But if you're gonna allow them, then I'm all about allowing all of them equally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
And that's something I didn't even know. I didn't even know that was an issue.
I didn't either until I saw the email. It was like, hey, guess what? They're allowed now. I'm like, or they're allowed. They can be command sponsored now. I was like, oh, I didn't know they weren't.
Right.
I might need to brush up on my military LGBT rules. Right. You know, shit. So there was that. Lucas, you got anything on that with your experience in serving, being overseas as a dependent?
No, I'm pretty good.
No comment.
I haven't had to deal with paying for anything with that sort of stuff. It's like, yeah, I'm overseas. There's some foreign people. I have to like speak their language.
Yeah, but I don't think you ever learn more than 3 words of the native language of any country you've been in.
Yeah.
Yes, no, and thank you. That's all you need.
Yep.
More or less, yeah.
Those are the 3 words that you really have. That and maybe bathroom, but usually you can just follow the smell. So I was browsing around and speaking about, spouses and dependents and things like that. I was looking around at a few things for the kids and, different, just parenting stuff. But I came across this site. I came across WebMD. And I'm going to click over for people to actually see this, this atrocious, atrocious site. So here we go. Now, my problem with WebMD, I've gone here several times in the past, and they have good medical advice. I mean, I'm not saying it's their doctors or anything else, but it's fairly good medical advice. But when you look at this page, and there are pop-ups everywhere, there are advertisements everywhere, and the advertisements are right in line with the content. There's really no major differences between them. It's really easy to get confused on what's content and what's advertisements. This is atrocious. And what really gets me is when I see a website like this, I realized today when I was looking at this that having a website with such poor ad management, it undermines my care for the site and for the information. It subverts my thoughts on the authority of the website, especially when it is a medical website, something like that. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, this is just some shitty site that somebody threw together and is trying to sell a bunch of ads on. It really detracts from the content.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple thoughts. One, WebMD. I used to go to WebMD fairly often years ago. And yeah, what a useful site. And it was pretty streamlined. It was a clean website. Looking at this now, and I don't know how long it's been since I've been to WebMD, but it's been quite some time. This is nasty. There is more advertising than there is actual content on this page.
And the content itself is not organized in an aesthetic and easy to follow way.
No, there's ads in the banner. There's 3 columns here, and all 3 columns have ads scattered throughout. There's, even at the bottom, health solutions from our sponsors. This is bullshit. This is a medical, granted, this is not a substitute for doctor or anything like that. But typically when I would come here is when the kids were little and they would, I would notice a rash or I would notice, something was going with the kids. I'd go to WebMD real quick just to, go to the symptom checker, just see what's going on. Well, now I come here, I've got, I'm kind of freaking out about my kid, and I want to know what I'm supposed to do, and should I go to the doctor? What the fuck is this? What do I click on here? Oh, shit, where's the, oh, damn it, pop up again. Like, really? You just destroyed the functionality of this once brilliant site.
And I understand completely the need for advertising and the need to monetarily gain from your website. I mean, that's why you're doing it. Nobody's doing this shit for free. So, sure. Everybody's pushing for something, right?
But it's exactly like you said. There is no differentiation. They've got the same font, colors.
Yep.
It's like they trick you into clicking the wrong thing. Like, instead of clicking on the thing that's going to help you or your family, we just made 5 more cents.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Jimmy John Boy. Jimmy John Boy says, "Oh, you know what? Let me download Roll the Tanks and play a quick game. You know, especially while I'm trying to figure out what that rash is on my kid's butt. You know, is that a spider bite or a parasite infestation? Oh, wait, Roll the Tanks. Oh, there we go.
You know what this reminds me of? When's the last time you've been to weather.com?
It's been a while.
Yeah, go to that site, and it's the same damn thing. There is more bullshit content on weather.com now when you just want to find out what the fuck the temperature is supposed to be tomorrow. not as atrocious as WebMD, because mm-hmm. I mean, finding out what tomorrow's weather is going to be is not important as figuring out, you know, if this rash is going to kill your kid.
Oh, this isn't covered in ads, but the layout of it is definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's definitely not helpful.
It's not as bad, but there are ads spread throughout. And there's also weather.com took it upon themselves to put a lot of bullshit content in here as well. Like fisherman baffled by strange catch. It has nothing to do with meteorology.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a lot of like weird.
Clickbait.
Yeah, clickbait.
The internet
crap
is now just clickbait.
Here. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Bait and title.
Yeah.
Nope. Excellent. So I don't know, Luke. What do you think about websites? Is this a persistent problem in useful websites to be filled up with crap? Or I don't know. What's your experience with that?
Well, as a advent user of the internet, it's a lot easier just to filter out the ads because you see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But when looking at the WebMD website, it was right there. Like you'd be hovering over the links to how to fix your kid's rash, and then all of a sudden you're clicking on World of Tanks.
Yeah,
like there's no separation, there's no color scheme or anything like that.
We've gone from opposite extremes. Back when I was first on the web, it was basically text, maybe a couple GIFs or a little picture here or there, something like that, you know, but it was really just mostly text. And then we went through this great period of, holy shit, look at all this functionality, and now we're going into this, okay, we've got the functionality down, let's corrupt it with a bunch of shitty advertisement. And it's kind of coming full circle to where I'm using the web. The plethora of pages that I once viewed on a regular basis is now scaling back down because of the difficulties in viewing the pages and the quality of the content I'm getting from them.
Do you, Amos, do you find that you use web apps or smartphone apps more than a browser?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, clearly. If I can get the information from a clean app on my phone, I'm going there. I'm not doing this other crap.
Yeah, whenever I go on Safari, just I can't use it because there's so many ads that's just popping up on the screen, and so hard to just move past it, and it's like right in your face. And
yeah, so I just brought up my WebMD app, and it's still very functional. There is one ad in the middle here but it's kind of a relevant ad.
Mm-hmm.
It's by Walgreens, and it's a tool that lets you refill your prescriptions.
Okay.
So, but it's very obvious. It's got the Walgreens logo and all of that. And then there's a single ad on the lower banner.
Okay.
On your list of functions. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's still a very useful tool. So yeah, recommendation to anyone out there, if you have the app version of WebMD, use that. Do not use that shitty website. It's garbage.
Awesome.
This is an interesting point, because whenever I go to official websites for very nerdy things, like if you go to StarWars.com or LordOfTheRings.com or whatever, I always find it so atrocious, but then you go to the fan-made websites, it's just, you get your information so much easier.
Yeah, I tend to go to wikis for stuff like that, so like instead of going to StarWars.com to see, you know, who that third bounty hunter on the left is, I'll go to Wikipedia. You know, it's the wikiest site for Star Wars. And yeah, it's a lot less crap to wade through, and it's usually the content is way richer than what you're going to find on any official site.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree.
Okay, so next up, one last thing here. Well, almost last thing. I saw a video that I thought was just amazing, and it's not even that spectacular of a video, but just the concept of it and the fact that during the evening when I was like, ugh, I don't want to be here at work, I saw this video and it just lightened my mood completely up. I figured it was worth sharing. So I'm going to cut over to that real quick. And we're going to play just a little bit of this.
See the replay? You are. I can't do it.
So that is from the Vlogbrothers. It's a video of a bunch of people in California when they're doing a VidCon, I think, that basically they're trying to laugh without smiling, and none of them can really do it. Either they start out smiling and they just laugh without moving their mouth, or they start laughing and then the smile comes. And what I found was when I was watching this video, I started smiling, and then about by the end of the video, I was laughing right along with them, even though I had no intention on doing so. Right. So I figured I'd play that and get your thoughts on things like that, man. These little happiness share videos. Now, I know you're not a huge fan of Vlogbrothers because of the smash cuts, but...
Yeah, but, and that's just a taste thing. I think they're great. They do really great stuff. It's just, they need to get rid of the smash cut. But no, this is something, laughter is infectious. Smiles are infectious. And it's particularly the case whenever you have videos like this, just like a compilation of people laughing, smiling, having a good time. You can't help but share their joy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that I noticed just in everyday life. If you've got somebody that is typically grumpy or whatever, but whenever you pass them, like you pass them five times during the day, through the hallway or whatever, if you smile at them every time you see them and, a friendly greeting or something like that, they're likely to give you a smile. At least in that moment, they're not the grumpy ass that they're known to be. And that's right. Just something to notice. I mean, it's if you're nice to people, they're going to be nice back, typically. If you laugh with them, they're going to laugh. If you smile at them, they're going to smile back. And that's just something that I think that's a universal human thing.
Yep. Go ahead.
Don't take it to extremes, though, because like if you're just Mr. Happy, you're going to get more hate and anger.
Heidi ho there, neighbor. How are you doing today?
It's all of a sudden you're the creepy guy down the hall.
Right. You like butterflies. I like butterflies. Let's be friends.
Zippity doo-dah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, so wrong. So very, very wrong. I thought it was really cool. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I think things like that are awesome. So.
Yeah, that's as long as it's not overdone. If it's like a 2-minute video, I'm so down for that. But I'm not going to watch 15 minutes of that.
No, this is a 4-minute video, which three minutes 98 seconds. But Vlogbrothers limit themselves to 4 minutes, so he filled his entire allotted time with it. So,
no, that's cool. That's definitely a cool thing.
Wait, did you say 3 minutes 98 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 3 minutes 98 seconds.
98 seconds.
Yes, y'all shut the fuck up. Let me do my math. Assholes.
So 3.98 minutes. I would
3 minutes 58 seconds. Jerks. I was just doing Excel math the other night with numbers and times and shit, and trying to convert decimal hours over to time hours. Shit. I hate my life. Okay, so the last thing we have on our list today, before we cut into Diamond Club news, is AI. I heard about a thing during the pre-show on Night Attack, I think it was, where Justin had signed up for this service to where you could chat along with this bot that would help you schedule things. And if things came up, it would reschedule and all this stuff for you. And it'd communicate with the other person that you're trying to schedule. And it would basically mediate between the two, all automated. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. I'll go sign up for that. That sounds like something I could use for one of my podcasts or whatever, Let's see how that works. So I signed up and I was like group 195 to get it, which is like forever from now, who cares, right? And it says it's x.ai is a personal assistant who schedules meetings for you. Sounds great. Sounds awesome. Sounds like exactly what we could use for podcasting. Okay, cool. I sign up, and then I get an email. And the email I got, and I'll quote this, says, "Thanks for signing up. We are thrilled and humbled by the incredible demand we've seen for our artificial intelligence meeting scheduling agent." And that's as far as I got. Because as soon as I got the response email, it's signed by a person, but I bet it's a bot. I bet everything that I ever interact with these people is a bot. Any customer service or anything else is all going to be a bot. I am part of their experiment. Fuck!
Well, you know, I think I would have been okay with it if it was up front. If the email said, "Thank you for signing up with me. How, you know, what meeting can I help you schedule?" You know, signed the bot. You know?
Nope. Nope, 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 nope. This is actually pear@human.x.ai.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just trying to fool me into thinking it's an actual human or if it's, I mean, all the signs, I mean, every sign that I would look for could be automated. There's no way for me to tell.
Well, look at all the emails that you get as a response from any company that you interact with. Those are all,
I'm fine with that. This is an AI company responding to me, expecting me to actually think this is a human. that was like a little Inception moment.
Somewhere in the email, does it say "Do not respond to this email"? This is an unmonitored email address or anything like that?
No, no, it does not.
Respond to it and see what it says. Ask it if it's a bot. That's what you should do.
Doing it right now. Right now.
Yeah. Report back next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, if it's a bot, you're probably going to get a response within 5 seconds. Live on the air experiment.
Yep. Doing it. Doing it right now. Let's see. We'll see if we get anything. We'll see if we get anything. All right. Meanwhile, we have some Diamond Club news to go to today.
Yeah. What do we got?
So we mentioned last week that we were trying to win an award. We didn't win the nomination, which is cool. Jury won out over us, but, being the faithful party liners that we are, over at hat.t2t2.eu, you cruise on over there and all the Diamond Club shows that have been nominated are highlighted and you just go down the little sidebar on the side. Well, after you follow the instructions, of course. You go down the little sidebar on the side, and it'll actually walk you through the process of making sure all the nominations are correct as according to the Diamond Club ticket.
Okay.
It's great. So we get the nominations. The nominations are open until April 30th, and then I'm sure there'll be some really awesome way to expedite your voting if you choose to vote the Diamond Club ticket when it comes to the podcast awards, so we can hat the system and have the funny hats accept all the awards this year, because screw those other podcasts.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to do this. And what's going to happen is that next year they're going to have rules against doing what we did this year, because we got kind of screwed this year because we screwed the system last year. So, yeah, it's just going to be a it's like the white hat hackers versus the black hat hackers. It's always like a stair step kind of thing. One's ahead of the other. Then they jump ahead of the other, and then they jump ahead of the other, et cetera, et cetera. And that's exactly what this is going to be until they eventually say, you know what, fuck it, no more podcast awards, and they're going to shut down.
So funny you should mention that. Okay. So this year there is a GoFundMe for the podcast awards.
A GoFundMe?
A GoFundMe for the podcast awards.
Okay.
Yes, and if I can bring it up real quick, the quote is something along the lines of, "Without us reaching our goal of $25,000, this may be the last podcast awards ever."
Okay.
So just tell me what you think about that.
Sounds like a threat.
It's just like Wikipedia or PBS or NPR or any of these things that say, like, oh, you know, it's that time of year again, we need to pay our bills, and we're not going to be here if we don't get money from you. Well, okay, that's kind of true, but somebody is going to bail them out. They have like especially Wikipedia, they have people that are going to pay the difference. Whatever they don't raise from the public, spoilers here, people, whatever they don't get from donations from regular people like you and me, there's a backer out there that's going to pay the difference to keep Wikipedia.
I need to correct myself.
Okay.
It says, we have to raise $25,000 or this will be the last podcast awards forever. And forever is capitalized.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a threat.
Yeah, it is. And that's kind of what they... This one's a little more blatant than, like, in my example, the Wikipedia one or even the PBS one. They have to appeal to you. And their audience is obviously the people that give a shit about the podcast awards. So they're going to say, hey, if you want this thing to keep going, you need to give us money because this will be it.
So as of right now, it is sitting at $1,368 of the $25,000. And he says on the video, if you watch the video, he says that it's to rebuild the podcast awards site. And he's gotten estimates anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000, and getting the 25,000 would ensure the stability and capability for the next 10 years. That's what he has on there. And of course that's by Todd Cochran, which is, you know, he hosts the podcast awards. So that's his stated intent, and yeah, take that for what you will. I don't doubt that it costs money and everything else, but I don't know. There has to be a better way than raising $25,000 or just ending the whole podcast awards thing, you know? They're already not doing last year they did a show, you know, with a convention hall in Vegas and had big crowds and everything else, and they're already not doing that this year. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that.
They can't afford Chris Jericho this year.
Maybe this is a market that that is ripe for someone to take over and run with, you know?
Right. So, okay, who charges $10,000 to build a web page?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Well, my original comment was, you know, T2T2 and Sergeant Muffin and Tin Vet could do this and have it hacked out and for half that and still have enough money to take a trip to Hawaii. So
in 3 days, and they would have it running perfect in 3 days.
So, there just has to be a better way. This can't be what's going on here. So there's that. And that's Diamond Club news for this week. Go there. Go to hat.t2t2.eu. Follow the instructions on the left side of the right side of the screen and get your votes in. And of course, you don't have to vote for all of them. If you just want to vote for one or two, that's fine. If you want to vote the whole ticket, it's all there. So go do what your conscience tells you to do and run with it.
Yeah, I'll be voting for Angry Chicken.
Yep. Yeah, and we definitely need to vote for the jury podcast because he was our competitor in the mature category. Yep. That beat us out fair and square by a lot, which we kind of knew was going to happen.
Right.
But we, our show and jury had an understanding that whichever one won, the other was going to support them. So, so yeah, good job, jury. And we are definitely going to support his win.
Right. So now it's time. It's that time, man. It is that time.
What time is that?
The time when we talk about all the places people can find us as if we are internet personalities and people are looking, which that's not the case. So I'd like to start off with Lucas, because Lucas over here has got a podcast. Did you know that? Did you know he has a podcast?
Get out.
Yeah.
You have a podcast, dude.
Yeah, you do too.
Yeah, it's the Ritual Misery podcast. We do it every week.
Lucas has one called the Film Zone. He's actually a co-host. His co-host is a complete douchebag, though. Like, you should not listen to his co-host at all. It's all Lucas, man. Like, there should be a supercut where it's just Lucas talking about stuff and just cut out the co-host completely.
Yeah, that would probably be a good thing. No, Film Zone is a show that Lucas and I do together. And I love that years ago, Lucas chose the internet handle Movie Man Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is so fitting to do a movie podcast.
So what's Film Zone about in your words, Lucas?
Pretty much, Dad and I talk about movies that are coming out and just movie news and we just talk about the newest movies and sometimes the old movies such as Temple of Doom or E.T. or whatever we want to talk about. And yeah, sometimes we talk about nerdy stuff, such as like, well, what's Doctor Strange doing here? Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like to go see movies in the theater, and usually when we do that, we come straight home and we record our thoughts about that movie. What's our next movie? Our next like in theater movie that we're gonna do?
Tomorrow we should be seeing Jungle Book, live action movie. So
very cool.
I am so looking forward to that. I feel like a little kid when I watch the trailers for that. And it's just, it looks
bare necessities.
So cool. Yes. So I'm still stuck on episode 5 because you started getting ready to spoil 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I actually wanted to watch it before I listened to the episode. So that's where I'm at.
It's so good.
Like, I don't mind being spoiled in movies I don't want to watch, but I actually want to watch that one. So
yep. Yeah, so good, so good. That spoiler alert, the movie is awesome.
All right, so Lucas, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can follow me on Twitter at MovieManLucas, where I talk about sometimes movies, but I've been talking about the newest Hearthstone cards that are being revealed for the newest set.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's his insight into like if the card's going to be valuable, what kind of deck it's going to be good in, things like that. It's pretty cool.
And they're mostly first impressions. So
nice. How about you, Kent?
At @RM_DelNoche on Twitter. I talk about random stuff mostly. But if you want to hear me talking about beer, well, you won't hear me. But if you want to read me talking about beer, yeah, just go to raybeer.com and look up username Del Noche and see what I'm doing there.
There you go. And, of course, you can find me at Ethan Kane. You can also find the show at Ritual Misery. Both those on Twitter, of course. You can submit ideas or subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. And you can call him his voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. And, of course, you can find all these and more ways to support the show and links and everything else on our webpage, ritualmisery.com. Special thanks to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music. And for me, for you, and for Kent and Lucas, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.